Lord, we just thank you for everything you're doing in and through this house. And right now, Lord, I give myself to you that we don't want to hear my words, my thoughts, or my opinions. We just want to hear your truth. So say what you want to say and do what you want to do. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. The light nature. Well, I read this scripture every week, and I'm going to read it again tonight, Colossians 3:10. Put on your new nature. Someone say new nature. And be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know God and become like God. That is really offensive to the religious spirit. The idea that we can become like God. Because we think, well, we're not equal to God. We're not equal to God. But He does make us co-heirs with Him in the idea that we are sons and daughters. We are a bride in submission to God. And God says, I want you to operate in such a way where when people see you, they see me. He says, I want you to look like me in the way you talk, in the way you speak, in the way you manage your life. He says, I want you to look like me. The struggle of life is living in one nature or the other, a nature that looks like sin or a nature that looks like God, a nature that looks like you're apart from God or a nature that looks like you're with God. We are all being in this transformative process, this transformation process of being totally unified with God. And last week I told you that this process is a process called theosis, a word meaning to be sharers or partakers of His nature, becoming unified with His nature. But theosis is this idea that we are continually transformed into a status of being totally unified with God. And you have a choice in life. We can simply study God at a distance, study His ways, celebrate what He did, or we can become totally unified with the one who gave us that invitation. And I don't know about you, but I've done a lot of studying. And I'm in a time of my life where I want to not only study, but I want to get in the dance. I want to get in the 3-in-1 dance. I want to dance with the Lord to such a degree where everything that I do is a flow from His desire. How many of you want that? Like, that's where I want to be. And that's what this idea of getting in His nature is all about. That we are to put on this new self, and that new self looks like something in the dance. So with this idea of being unified, I want to go into 2 Corinthians 3:18. It says this, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed, that's called what? Theosis, being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Being transformed into the very image of the one that we call Lord. It's interesting, this phrase, but we all with unveiled face. Paul, the apostle who's writing this passage, is making us aware of a very special intimacy with God, a very special close relationship with God, that there is no longer any separation, but that your mind is uncovered, your eyes are open. This idea of unveiled face is this declaration to the church that there is no longer a separation between you and the Lord as it was in the past, that there is a unity invitation well beyond our understanding and beyond our grasp. Paul is actually taking us back to a place referring to when Moses went up to Mount Sinai. Moses goes up to Mount Sinai, and that's the place where he got something very, very popular. If you know what that is, you can shout it out. Some of you know the commandments. Some of you obviously don't. But when Moses went up to the Mount Sinai, it says that he went up there and met God face to face. Close, intimacy. And when he came back down off the mountain, anybody remember what happened? He was glowing. He shined. He was totally transformed. He had an encounter with God that literally and spiritually and figuratively transformed him. And if you are familiar with the story, the first time he came back down from the mountain with face-to-face encounter, he was so changed that the people were scared of him. Yeah. I would love to be so changed that I walk into the world and people will be scared of what they saw. That's wild. That's a wild nature. Being so transformed that the world, who thinks they're on top of everything, is afraid of what you just walked into. Afraid because they simply don't understand what this transformation is. Amen? And Moses would actually wear a veil to cover his face. The reason he wore a veil to cover his face is because the glory that he had, this face-to-face encounter with God, it would actually fade away. He would go up, glow, and then it started to diminish. So he wore a veil. He didn't want anyone to see this glory fading. He didn't want the people to see what was diminishing. So when Paul makes a statement that you don't have to wear a veil, he's making us aware of a great truth, that the glory we get to be transformed by and in does not fade. It stays. It is ever increasing instead of ever diminishing. We do not have to go up to a mountain, up to a place to get the presence of God, because the presence that was on Mount Sinai is actually in and around you. The presence that Moses had face to face with is actually in and around you every moment of your life. It's not a place to go to. It is a relationship to be unified with. And we behold that glory that transformed you, it says, as in a mirror. A mirror in this time period didn't have a great reflection. So, you know, sometimes I look in the mirror and wish the reflection wasn't as clear. But mirrors in this day wasn't the clearest things created. They were made usually of a polished metal, and they gave a very clouded, fuzzy, distorted image. So when Paul says we can see the glory, but not, he says you can see the glory, but not perfectly yet. Almost like looking in a mirror and you see somewhat of a reflection, but you don't see the truest picture of it yet. He says a life in the nature of God is walking into a perfected image that you cannot fully grasp. You see a glimpse of it, but it is ever increasing to get to this perfected image. That is why relationship with God in life is a never-ending thing, because as holy as you think you might be, you don't understand the complete and perfect image that he wants you to be led into. That's actually really encouraging, because you can never get to a place of full maturity in Christ. It's ever increasing. So if you think you're at the most mature state, you just revealed how immature you are. Because it is an image that you cannot grasp. Well, I've done this for this long, and I've been in church this long. You cannot see the full image. You can only increase in the perfected image. He sees it. He knows it. He invites you to walk into it. The image is there. We have to go there. It's kind of like this. You're not determining your life, you discover it. You don't determine your life, you discover your life. What do you discover? You discover an image that is there, even though you can't see it yet. There's an image of you that's there that you won't fully see, and he says, don't determine your image, discover your image. It's like this in Psalm 37:23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Stop determining your steps and start looking to God with unveiled face and discover the next steps of your life. This doesn't mean that you can't make plans. This doesn't mean you don't plan. The Lord says to write the vision down and make it plain. Everything in your life should have some sort of written down vision, because the Lord says he wants to give you an image of what your life should look like. So he says, write the vision down. When you write the vision down, it's easier to create boundaries of where to go. If you write a vision down for your marriage, you'll actually start creating boundaries as to your yeses and nos, not based off of your desires, but based off of what? The vision. Does that make sense? So he says, it's not that you can't make plans. It means consult the one who knows the best plan and the best path. Yes. It's really easy for us to make a plan without consulting the one who knows the best plan. The knowledge of good and evil is not just about knowing bad. The fall of sin is that we can know good things that we were never meant to indulge in. Listen to that. You can know good things that you were never meant to indulge in. He says, I don't want you to know good nor evil. I just want you to know me. Because if you only know me, then you're not going to choose good options. You're going to choose godly options. You're going to choose the options that he has pre-ordered and pre-designed for you. So you choose, I don't want to just make my plans. I want to discover the plans he has made. Does that make sense? Now, there's something else about mirrors. Because they were cloudy, they were fuzzy, they were distorted. You couldn't see the full image. But being of a high-polished metal, what would happen in the reflection of this mirror is that if you would be in strong light, light would shine on this mirror, and the reflection that you see is not just an image, but it's an image of you illuminated by the glowing reflection of light. So Paul says, don't just look at who you are now. Realize that there is a luminescence or a glowing glory in your image when you look at you through the image of God. Look in the mirror to see a reflection of you. In this time, Paul was referring to there is a light that reflects off that mirror, so when you see your face in a glow. Just like who? Moses. So he says, when you see that reflection, walk with me in such a way where you actually see this in your day-to-day. A luminescent reflection. In other words, we're not just becoming people like God, we're literally becoming light. Matthew 5:14, you are what? The light of the world. Like a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. We are moving into a glory nature that is the light of the world. And we preach light of the world a lot, but I want to go deeper into this concept of light, because it's not just a figurative idea of, oh, we want to light up the darkness. No, you are walking into an image of light bearers. That when you walk into a room, you bear such light, not light of sun, not light of light bulbs, but there is a glory reflecting in you that when you walk into a room, things respond because you are reflecting the glorious image of God. It's like this, and this isn't up there, but in Genesis, God says, let there be light. He says this before there was day and before there was night, before there was sun, before there was moon. Light, in other words, a shining of his presence, was over the earth. We didn't need a sun or a moon or stars for the earth to be lit up. It was just presence. It was the image of God lit up the world. And now God has called us as the light that is separate from the sun, separate from the moon, to shine over the earth. And that light is the very reflection of the glory of God that is on you. So you call to be light means that in every area of your life, God wants to do something in you that dispels dark things. This is going to sound really foolish, but it's probably good for a series called Wild. And I was sharing this, and I went to the Thursday house church, Randy and Susan's house church, and I was talking about how we just moved to a new home, and every morning when I leave, there are deer on the path. Two very specific ones. They look young, but they're mature. And I've been talking a lot in my sermons about how we are to have authority over all things in the earth. Well, if you know anything about deer, when you pull up in a car and you see deer, what do? They run. So every morning when I see these deer, I creep up with my truck and I roll on the window and I say, peace. And you know what they do? They run. Yeah, y'all thought I was going to get real holy and say they just bow too much. No, no, no. They run. But I'm convinced that there will be a relationship that when I walk more into light image, they will respond to peace be still. And if that has to happen the next 20 years, I'm putting my faith into practice. And that sounds foolish. That sounds weird. But why not be a people that if we can be as foolish for the pastor to speak to deer to be peace, if we had that level of faith, what if every disease and sickness and any stronghold fell in the presence of light bearers? Because light bearers reflect a glory image that anything that does not look like God has to go. So disease, sickness, hurt, pain, depression, anxiety, worry, it has to go when light bearers walk in a room. It's almost like this. In an apostolic house, we may not have thousands of people, but what if we were the tithe of a people that represented the whole, that if we went all in, light would over the area. God has given us a grace not just for salvation, but salvation is grace or permission to come back into alignment of being just like Him. I don't know if this has been tied together, and maybe I'm wrong, and I'm just going to say this in faith, but Dell, the guy over here in the blue, had a heart attack last week. And I don't know how many people went and visited him, but like it was getting to a point where the nurses were like, stop. And people were praying over him and showing love to him and speaking healing over him. And he had a massive surgery Friday passed. He just went home a couple days ago, and now he's here in church raising his hands, and you can't raise yours because you're tired? Or it's not your style? Why did I say that? I believe his healing went rapid fire because of light showing up in the ICU. And that may sound foolish to some of you, but I want to get that wild. That we actually believe that we as light bearers walk into a room and anything that does not look like God cannot stay. But it takes a people who are willing to go into deep relationship to embrace the foolish things of the Lord to become bearers of light. Matthew 4:16 says this, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and for those who lived in the land where death cast its shadow, a light has shined. What light? What was shining? The ministry of Jesus throughout the land. And you know what grace does? Jesus says, I'm giving you permission to continue that great light spreading. As we look at ourselves, there should be a reflection of God. And theosis is a process of being transformed, moving from glory to glory into an identity called light. What's glory? The Hebrew word for glory, kabod, kabod, however you want to say it, the weightiness of a thing, the worth of a thing, the substance of a thing. The Greek word for glory, doxa, the honor, the divine quality. Glory denotes a weight that is the worth and the quality of something. But many of us start at a weight or a measure of worth, and we're convinced that we're only worth but this much, when the Lord says, dare to look at me to see the level of worth you are to become. Moving from glory to glory is daring to believe that your worth is actually just as of worth as God because you came out of him. Why does he make you worthy? Because he graced you and gave you permission to be that great. And stewardship of glory says, how can I take that which is great and use it to push it up to him? You are worth an incredible amount. But many people stay at a measure of glory or a measure of worth and never dare to actually embrace an increasing of it. Well, Pastor Kyle, you don't know what I did. You don't know how I was. You don't know what I did last week. But the Lord says, if you would just to start to look at your reflection, a luminescence would drive out the decisions of yesterday. You start embracing a level of your worth and quality, but you never move to more. Theosis is being transformed from weight to weight, from glory to glory, from worth to worth. The more relationship with you, God you have, the more worth you should have in view of yourself. So any Christian that says we are not worth it, you have no relationship with the one I know. Because you are every bit worth it. And the Lord never wants you to stay at a glory of I'm not worthy. If you weren't worthy, he would not have died for you. You will become. Transformation means a walking into something that exists somewhere. There is a glory of you that you don't determine, you what? Discover. It's a life invitation. I want to discover my worth over and over again. Because when I discover my worth, your revelation of your worth flows from a revelation of his. And when you move from glory to glory, you become the very thing that expels all dark things. Discipleship. Discipleship can be defined as a journey of being disciplined. But I say we complete the definition that discipleship is a journey of being disciplined in your worth. Not managing behavior, but becoming so convinced of God's desire for your transformation that you draw close to God, and that drawing close transforms you to such a degree that your behavior submits to your way to glory. Let me say it one more time. Discipleship, not managing your behavior, but being so convinced of God's desire for your transformation. Like, God, I am convinced that you want me to transform. That you start to draw close to God. You build relationship with God. You are leaning into his presence everywhere you are, every morning, every moment, every night, every car ride, every relationship. That you actually start to transform because your behavior submits to the you that you're becoming. So, you can't manage your behavior and expect I'm going to do something different if your glory, if your worth does not transform. Because if you think you're not worthy, you're going to have behavior of one who doesn't think they're worthy. But when you draw close to God and go, oh, I'm worth more, oh, I'm worth more, oh, I'm worth more, your behaviors will line up with the revelation of your worth. I am too worth it to have this. I am too worth it to look at that. When you become convinced of who you are, your desires will change by way of a transformation process of intimacy with God. You literally become light, and the stuff that you don't think you can overcome, the light that you become drives it out. The worst thing the church has done is convince people to come here and change your ways so that you can be holy. God says, be convinced of that you are holy, and that will change your ways. I'm amazing. Why am I doing things that aren't? That's the revelation you want. The kids, we're doing something crazy by letting the kids be in the main worship gathering. Now, on the whole, that's a bad idea to grow a church. But we're not trying to grow a church in the idea of best environments. We're trying to grow a church in the idea that, how old is she? That a 10-year-old prophesies to you. So, you know, the world can have their colorful rooms. I want powerful kids. Yeah. Why not get that foolish? When you get heavier in your glory, heavier in your convincing that you are light, that image will break all the yokes of bondage. A yoke. You put something, or a yoke is something you put around the neck of an oxen to help control it. You put two together, and where one head goes, the other head has to go. Does that make sense? So you got two people, and Blaze, come up here, buddy. Put your phone down real quick. he was on his Bible. Come here, just faster. Lock arms with me. So the way a yoke goes is Blaze tries to go that way, and I try to go this way. We ain't moving anywhere. So why aren't you moving in life? Because you're yoked to something that doesn't want to move with you. So go that way. How do I break a yoke? I become so much like light that light pushes away the darkness. And I am no longer yoked to that, and I can move forward from one level of glory to what? Another level of glory. That is breaking a yoke. Yes. So there are yokes around you when your nature is not transformed. Negative words will yoke you. Religious systems will yoke you. Abuse will yoke you. Let down yokes you. Like, don't get yoked. And what's funny is that we live our lives yoked to things of the past, not realizing it's actually diminishing your reflection of being a light bearer. And before you know it, everything that happened yesterday will cause you want to go here, but as you try to go here, you get pulled back to there. The Lord says, if you will move from glory to glory in relationship with me and become light bearers, that thing trying to take you back will break off forever. When you accept the truth of a new covenant in Jesus, you realize that no yoke stands a chance because your glory or your weight of worth is so heavy that the heaviness of your worth breaks it. Christopher, right? I was talking to Christopher a few weeks ago. If y'all don't remember, there was a really weird gathering a few weeks ago where the Lord had gave me a message, but he said, don't preach it. Preach a message that you don't know you're going to preach. And then Chris basically got delivered of some things. And he said, man, I've never been in a presence of God like this. And he said something, and I hope it's okay. He said, okay. I said, what's your story? He said, well, I'm an addict. I said, are you still addicted? He said, no. I said, stop calling yourself an addict. Because you know what that identity is? That's a yoke. That's right. If you believe you're an addict, you will go back to your addiction. But if you believe you are free, then you don't embrace a yoke that tries to pull you back. Yeah. You're not broken. You're not a sinner.
That's right.
Why did Moses have a veiled face? We're going to get in the story when he first encountered God, he covered his face. You know why? Because he had an idea of, I'm a sinner. I can't be in presence. What does the Lord want from you? Believe that you're holy so that you can get in presence. You as light breaks the yokes. Another way to say it, you as light breaks the presence of darkness. 1 John 1, 5 through 6. This is good tonight. Whew. This is the message we heard from Jesus and now declare to you. God is light and there is no darkness in him at all. Think about that when reading Genesis verse 1 and 2. I'll leave it at that. 6. So we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness. We're not practicing the truth. Because a relationship with God brings you into such unity that you actually become the thing that causes dark things to flee. When you become light, negativity, harmful, evil, fearful, it all leaves. Anything that is anti-God flees. So if there's a moment when that comes up, in that moment, you are not walking into a reflection of light bearers. You're going back to old man. And the moment you have a revelation of, oh, I just walked back into old man, let me get back in the walk, let me get back in the dance with the 3-in-1, all of a sudden that stuff goes away. You don't have to pray it away. You don't have to go through a 10-day process. Get back in the dance, and it goes. Because there is no darkness in the dance. For those of you that may miss that, the dance is the relationship of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The word Trinity is a man-made idea that gives a hierarchy of Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The most appropriate word, perichoresis, is a relationship of the 3-in-1 in a dance to such a degree that they're moving in a blur that you cannot tell one apart from the other. That's why Jesus says, I do not do anything apart from my Father, because he and the Father, Holy Spirit, they were one in such a way that everything they did was in sync. And he says, get in a dance where everything you do is in sync with Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Just as God transformed Moses in such a way that he shined, God wants us there. A transformation, a metamorphosis of light beings, light bearers. And you get there when you move into glory, transformed from glory to glory. 2 Corinthians 3:8. Shouldn't we expect far greater glory under the new way now that the Holy Spirit is giving life? How can you believe that the only form, the forms of glory that the apostles walked in, we can never walk in? How can you believe that when Paul looks at the Corinthians and says, shouldn't we expect far greater now? Begin being convinced of your new nature. When you're convinced of a new nature, it brings you into a greater image of glory. But do you expect greater, or are you settled in current? Do you expect greater, or are you settled? I'm saved and God knows my heart. That is the biggest excuse to be settled in current. I don't care what God knows about me. I never want to be settled in who I am now. I want to become. I want to move from weight to weight, from glory to glory, becoming a light bearer to such a degree that when a people walk into a hospital room, everything leaves that's not of God. Could we be there? That when we walk into a city, any chance of crime would diminish because light came in. Could we be foolish and wild enough to believe that that is actually our intended nature?
Yes.
Look at this in Exodus 24, verse 16 to 17. The glory of the Lord settled down on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. On the seventh day, the Lord called to Moses from inside the cloud. To the Israelites at the foot of the mountain, the glory of the Lord appeared at the summit like a consuming fire. So we see two things in this, that God's glory was indicated by fire and a cloud. Some versions replace the word glory with dazzling light. God's luminescence, his light, was seen by fire and by cloud. The glory of God should shine in such a way that exposes anything not of him. It's a luminescence. It is a light So as you're transformed, the new weight of glory or the worth that you're walking into, it lights up anything that does not match his glory, and you will actually begin to delight in getting rid of it. Because you're becoming so convinced of new you that you delight in getting rid of the things that light says, that's not you. That's not you. Why do you embrace that? Stop saying that this is how you are. That is one of the biggest statements that I believe is hindering the body of Christ. Well, this is who I am and no one can change that. God can. Because if you look in the mirror, if you look at God, if your ways don't match him, it's the wrong reflection. That's just not me. You don't know you. Is this helping? Oh, a few people, okay. And sometimes the glory of God lights up stuff that you never wanted to see. And sometimes it lights up stuff in others that they never wanted to see. Let light dispel every bit of dark thing. If we would just lean into the relationship with God where he is our everything. He fulfills our desires, our hunger, our thirst. I want to read this. I'm getting close. Exodus chapter 3. Wow, it's only 7:30. Never mind, I'm going to take a lot more time. Exodus 3, verses 1 through 6. One day, some of y'all are like, ugh. One day, Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led the flock far into the wilderness. I just want to pause there. He led the sheep into the wild. He came to Sinai, the mountain of God. Now, in most versions, it's actually called Horeb. It wasn't called Sinai till later. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the middle of a bush. Moses stared in amazement. Though the bush was engulfed in flames, it did not burn up. This is amazing, Moses said to himself. Why isn't that bush burning up? I must go see it. You ever have one of those moments where you're just looking at something and you're thinking, what is all that about? Let me do some digging here. That's the picture. Moses is looking at a burning bush, and it's burning, but the bush ain't diminishing. So he's like, something ain't exactly right here. Let me go up this bush. So he goes up. And when the Lord saw Moses coming and take a closer look, I love that. The Lord wants to wait to see how near you draw to him before he'll say a word to you. When the Lord saw Moses come in and take a closer look, God called to him from the middle of the bush. Moses, Moses, here I am. Moses replied, do not come any closer, the Lord warned. Interesting. Not that he didn't want him close, but he wanted him to come in the proper honor. And this is what he says to do. Take off your sandals. You're standing on holy ground. I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. When Moses heard this, he covered his face because he was afraid to look at God. Moses went to a wild place and encountered God in a blazing fire that was fiercely burning but not destroying. Now, I'm going to say something, and I want you to hear me. I am not taking a stance in this. I'm just trying to challenge you and push your thinking a little bit, okay? Y'all hear that? Because you shouldn't just leave here encouraged. You should leave challenged. Do you view the end of the age as a destruction of the earth or simply as a removal of darkness? Because it's all for good, and the wild nature is fierce and tender. So when we get a picture of the fire of God coming to end an age, the fire of God was present but not destroying. Amen. And when that time comes in the end, Jesus is coming for the final restoration. So could it be that the fire of God is coming down, not necessarily to destroy, but to disperse everything that's never supposed to be. And while we wait for that to happen, the light that is dispelled in us partners with darkness fleeing. Oh. You are so worth it that God says, hey, now that you're saved, help me in the restoration of all things. You know what Horeb means, the place where the burning bush was? It means desolation, desert, wasteland. So in a place of waste, the light of God illuminated Moses' path. And when Moses walked to this holy ground, this holy place, he covered his face in fear. And then he took off his shoes. Do we recognize the significance of this? Because in this day, you took your shoes off when you walked into someone's house. So when there was an invitation of God saying, don't come any closer, take off your shoes, God invited Moses into his house, into the presence of his domain. And when you walk into his domain, there's an invitation to take that domain and spread it through the desolated places. Why did Moses cover his face? He identified as a sinner. Moments of presence faded. He covered it later on, but we, with unveiled face, never have to worry about glory dimming. If we would just embrace a new nature in Christ that you've been graced with. The glory of God should shine in such a way that exposes anything not of him. And I close with this, Proverbs 25:2. It's the glory of God to conceal a matter, but it's the glory of kings to search it out. We are a royal priesthood. The Lord says that we are both priests and kings. So how do you move from glory to glory? When you start to search out the hidden things. Because they're hidden for those who dare to search. And we won't see them one day. There's an invitation to uncover them right now. You won't see hidden if you don't search out. If you settle in who you are, you'll never see the things that God has for you. Search them out. You will walk in a light identity that God created to bring restoration into all areas. You are light. You are light. You are light. You hear that? You are light. Put on that nature. Draw close to God so that I love that song that when you walk into the room, you playing that? Everything changes. Now, when we sing that, we're singing God when you walk into a room. But I believe tonight God wants to sing that over you. When you walk into the room, everything changes. Darkness starts to tremble at the light that you bring. That's what the Lord wants. Let him sing that over you tonight. But as we draw close to him, we become light bearers. You got something you want to share?
I'll share something. Has anybody seen the light on Kyle as he's been preaching? I've been sitting here taking pictures of him because the glory's been on you. Just to show you.
I knew something was going on. Oh, wow. The Lord's good, y'all.
You
got something?
I'm just sitting there the whole time you were preaching, and I can see it on you. And I can actually take a picture, and you can see it.
And that is a good place to remind us is that it is an end time picture of the invitation for all. It is not something that the leader of a church gets to take in that you don't. It's all of us. What I am is a function. We all function differently. Some of us are teachers. Some of us are business owners. Some of us are stay-at-home moms and dads. Some of us are photographers. Some of us go into real estate. Some of us do property management. Some of us own RVs. Some of us, you know, work at restaurants. There's all kind of different functions, but we're all called to shine everywhere. So let us put on that nature and draw close to the Lord. Amen. Let's stand. Can we just give God praise tonight? There's communion in the back. Jacob's going to be here leading worship and worshiping himself. We ask that all conversations move to the lobby. But if you want to take some time and just lean in to what the Lord wants to do, maybe you want to listen to him a little more. Maybe you want to worship him. Maybe you want to take communion and just be reminded how good he is. This place is set apart for you to do that. Lord, we thank you for this message that we have a nature that is the luminescence of you. Thank you that you love us so much that you invite us in to a glorious image that we cannot wrap our minds around. Lord, let this day begin a deeper lean in from moving all of us from glory to glory. Let us be the light that you are. Let your light shine in us that every dark thing flees. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. Love you guys.